Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, in particular during the Easter season. We thank you for the freedom that you've given us when you died on the cross and when you rose again. Please pray for us as we consider this passage together with Phil, and pray that we'll really see the good news that's being offered here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read the passage. The passage is taken from the letter to the Galatians, just 3 verses today. So Galatians 1, verse 3 to 5. Reading from verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Over to you, Phil.
Thanks, Alfie, and can I add my welcome? Great to see you on the call. Just to say, I am going to cough my way through this slightly. I'm feeling okay, but just so that you're forewarned, apologies for that. Hopefully, you'll be able to concentrate on what I'm saying rather than how much I'm coughing. One of the big questions on our minds at the moment is when will we be free? When will we be free from all the COVID restrictions? When will I have freedom to see my family, hug my mother? When will I have freedom to be drinking champagne with friends on the grass? I don't know why that came into my mind when I was thinking about this. I haven't done that for years, but you know, maybe that's what you're looking forward to. Kids to Legoland, back to the pub. Basically, when will I be free? Go back to sort of life as it was in 2019. But what if I were to ask the question, what do you think true freedom is, and where do you think it can be found? I guess many of us would probably think of a political kind of freedom, freedom from political oppression, freedom to live our lives with a high degree of choice and security in a fair society that doesn't discriminate. The kind of freedom that's been fought for by many historical figures. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Mandela, the suffragettes, of course, the kind of freedom that Mel Gibson won, or fought for at least, in Braveheart. Political freedom. But can I ask, what kind of freedom is this? It's worth asking that question. Because people still die young in democracies. People still suffer in the West. We've been seeing that, of course, haven't we? Women are still sexually assaulted in politically free countries. And in the UK, we are apparently more anxious now than we've ever been, even without COVID. And so it's a fair question. Are we really free, or as free as we think we are? Where then can true freedom be found? And I'm not talking about a shallow kind of political freedom. I'm talking about the freedom that we long for, because we do, don't we? We long for a deeper, longer lasting freedom. There's an ache in each one of us. The Bible says God has placed eternity into our hearts. And this ache is not satisfied by all of the so-called freedoms that we have. And I want to show us briefly this lunchtime, this extraordinary claim at the heart of the message of Easter, that Jesus Christ died to set us free, not just temporarily, but forever. Now, I don't know what you make of that straight off the bat. Maybe you think it's wishful thinking. Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts in a minute. We'll have a Q&A time afterwards if you'd like to have some kind of back and forth about it. Just look down at these verses that were read in the handout. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Let me read them again. Paul writes to this young church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You'll see those words, deliver us, in verse 4, literally to set us free. Who gave himself to set us free from this present evil age. Therefore, Jesus died. We can see Jesus died to set us free. Straight away, that's different, isn't it, from what many people think Jesus came to do? He did not come to bring just another religion. That's what many people think. He did not come to constrain us, to impose religious rules over us, to add further burdens to our already heavily burdened backs. He came, verse 4, to set us free. Now, I just want to make one point this lunchtime, and it's this, that in Jesus, we can have the freedom that we long for. In Jesus, we can have the freedom that we long for. That is, he died to set us free from this whole broken world. Or as Paul calls it, this present evil age, verse 4. It's a very strange phrase, that, isn't it? Present evil age. What is that? Well, we might be tempted to think, aha, he's talking about the age of wokeness that perhaps began 5 years ago, this present evil age. Or perhaps it's everything that happened since the 1990s. Since the internet or whatever. But no, Paul is taking us back and back to the very beginning, back to Genesis 3, in what is often referred to as the fall of man. The Bible is clear, and it's worth saying this at this point, we have to say this, the Bible is clear that we did not evolve from nothing. That is our culture's creation myth. Every culture has one, every culture has a creation myth. Our culture's is that we've evolved from nothing. But the Bible tells us that what seems most likely as we look around and see the world that we live in, the intricacy of the peacock's feather, the beauty of the sparrow, the intricacy and beauty of creation as we look around, the eyeball. What seems to be true, which is that this can't have come from nothing. There must be a designer. The Bible tells us is actually true, that we were created by a loving God. But back on that day in Genesis 3, right at the very beginning, we who were created by a loving God who gave us this world, we rebelled against him, or Adam and Eve did, as they took the fruit. That's what they did is they were taking the fruit. Effectively, they were saying, we don't want you, God. We want your world. We want the beautiful things that you've made. We want the breath you've given us, but we don't want you. We want you out. We want to be in charge. That's what they did when they took the fruit. That's what the Bible calls sin. And at that point, sin came into the world. And ever since, we have all, to a man or woman of us, done the same thing. We've pushed our creator out of our lives and said, I want your world, I want your good things, but I don't want you. Atheism, interestingly, atheism is therefore not some kind of newfound expression of freedom or progress, but rather atheism is just the latest version of a very old response to God, to pretend that he doesn't exist. That's our way of pushing God out. Well, Paul describes this whole world order as evil. When he does, we might think he's going over the top, but actually he's referring fundamentally to what we've done with God. We've done an evil thing. We've pushed our creator out. We've said we don't want him. Of course, when he came to earth, what did we do with him? Well, we did what we always do with him. We put him on a cross. And therefore, back in Genesis 3, from that moment, there was a barrier. There came a barrier between us and God. And at that point, God's judgment came over us because of our sin. Death came into the world at that point. We were never meant to die, but now we do. We were not made to suffer, but now we do. And so the present evil age is this broken world, this world that we look at. We see so much good in it, but we long for the world that is without suffering, that is without death, that is without brokenness. This present evil age, this broken world, in rebellion against God, locked under his judgment. It is a world, by the way, that's packed full of human religions that cannot save us. This is the present evil age. But the wonderful news of the Christian gospel and the wonderful news of Easter is that God wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. He loves us. And he's done so by sending his son into the world to die on a cross. Just look down at verse 4 again. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus' life, if you read the accounts of his death, his life was not taken from him. He gave himself. You will see that as you read through the accounts. I do recommend that you do that. Jesus gave himself for our sins. That is, he took all of our sin, him being the perfect Son of God, took all of our sin onto himself. Everything that we've ever done wrong, the way that we've treated God, the way that we've treated each other, he took it all onto himself. And then he paid the penalty that we deserve. That is death and God's judgment. That's what he was doing on the cross. And therefore, he has dealt with the problem, the fundamental problem. He has removed the barrier. And that means, Paul is saying, that means that we can have the true and lasting freedom that we long for. And there are two things about this freedom. Freedom now and freedom forever. Freedom now because we can have a restored relationship with God. Did you see that in verse 3, how Paul is able to address these new Christians who've put their faith in Christ? Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. So in Christ, we can immediately have that restored relationship with God, peace with God, and not only peace with God, but to be able to call him our Father, to be his children. This is therefore to be set free from the wearisome task of trying to be good enough for God, trying to do enough to make sure that I'm accepted before him on the judgment day. We never will and we never can. Instead, in Christ, we can be secure in his love now and forever because of his death. And through his death, we are brought into relationship with God as our Father. So freedom now, but secondly, freedom forever. Because at the cross, Jesus opened up the eternal new age. And the Bible speaks of a new creation that God will one day bring for his forgiven children to enjoy forever. A new creation where there will be no more death, no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears anymore. Everything that spoils this world will be gone. That is what Paul means when he says we have been set free from this present evil age, this present world order, for an eternal new age, a new creation. This then is the freedom that we long for, freedom now, freedom forever. And this means, of course, that Christians are people who still have to live in this world, but who have been set free from it. No more fear of dying. No more fear of COVID, actually, because it won't be the end. No more wearisome religion, because we've been accepted by God now through the death of Jesus alone. Now, perhaps you're listening and you're listening to all these things and you're thinking, well, you know, that's all very well, but it would be nice if it was true, but it's just a pipe dream. It's just wishful thinking. Well, actually, if there is a creator who made us originally to enjoy life with him forever, as the Bible says, if there is a creator, it's not a pipe dream. Rather, it's a restoration of how things were always meant to be. It is the life that we were made to enjoy forever, won for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, won for sinners by Jesus. I'm reading a book about a communist spy known as Agent Sonya, who I think handed the Russians secrets about how to make the nuclear bomb as she was operating in the UK in the 1950s and 60s. I haven't finished it. But what struck me so far is how deeply these people believed back in the 20s and 30s in the power of communism to bring a fairer world. This woman in particular was prepared to sacrifice so much for the cause of communism, even bringing up her young children. Actually, it's occurred to me that what they were longing for in communism, what they were longing that communism would bring about, is what Paul's talking about here in verse 4. They were longing for freedom from this present evil age, the perfect new world. This then is the freedom that all political idealism seeks after, but cannot realize. History has taught us that, if nothing else. The sexual liberation of the 1960s is another case in point, isn't it? Massive optimism about a newfound freedom for everyone, but especially for women, breaking out of the patriarchal society, or so it was thought. Now, a recent survey in The Guardian says that 70% of all UK women report that they've been sexually harassed, rising to nearly 90% of younger women, and it's thought that those figures are very conservative. The ideas of the 1960s promised freedom, but they have not, and they will never achieve it. This is the freedom that medical science strains after, but will never achieve. As soon as one disease is cured, another one comes along. It's the freedom that thousands of religions offer, but cannot deliver. What then is different about Jesus? Well, Jesus has dealt with the real problem. The reason this world is as it is because of our sin and because of God's judgment over us. We can try to set ourselves free by becoming religious, or by trying to live a decent life, or by putting our hope in science or some political change, but we might as well bash our heads against a thick prison wall. Only Jesus, the one who's come from outside of this present evil age, only Jesus can set us free. He's the one who's taken away the barrier of our sin and has taken the barrier of God's judgment, so that a new dawn can break and light and hope can flood in for all who put their trust in him. I remember when I first realized I needed Jesus's death and first understood the implications of it as a 14-year-old on a camp somewhere in Somerset. I realized that Jesus, and it was explained to me that Jesus had removed the barrier of sin, my sin, forever. And it was like light came flooding in at that point, and hope, as I realized that I could have a relationship with God as my Heavenly Father now, and then stretching into eternity. But I think freedom is the word, actually, looking back. Freedom's the word that describes how I felt as the tears of joy. I still remember the moment as the tears of joy began to flow. Freedom no longer to be straining under the weight of religious effort. Freedom no longer to be trying to impress God in vain, because I never could. It was like a weight was lifted off my soul as I realized that in Christ, I was accepted before God forever, not because of anything I'd done, but because of what he had done for me on the cross. Jesus alone can rescue us from this broken world. Jesus alone can bring us the freedom we long for. Well, one question we might have at this point is, how do I receive this freedom? Well, that is what Paul goes on to say in the rest of this letter. And I recommend you read it if you have time over Easter, this letter to the Galatians. Paul says we receive this freedom by faith, by faith. He insists, by faith, and faith alone, faith in Christ. That is, by putting our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In other words, then, this is free freedom. It is given to helpless sinners by a generous and loving God, and by grace, his grace alone. There are phony versions of Christianity around, and some of you may have been unfortunate enough to experience them. They will tell you that in order to be saved, in order to be ultimately accepted before God, you need to have lived a good enough life. That is, yes, you need Jesus, but you also need to supplement him by doing the Ten Commandments, or by becoming religious, or by praying enough in order to be ultimately accepted before God. But that is categorically not what the Bible says. That is secondhand Christianity, Chinese whispered to you. The Bible says we are saved not by works or by the works of the law, but but through faith in Jesus Christ alone. What then is faith? Well, faith is simply as I hear the message about Jesus, hearing about who he is and what he says he's done, and believing it. Faith, therefore, is simply believing who he is, who Jesus is, and what he says he's done for me. A Christian hymn puts it like this: nothing in my hands I bring, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Jesus is our freedom. He has set us free on the cross. And as I close, I just want to briefly tell you the story of Mike Meller. I heard it a couple of weeks ago and thought I'd like to relay it to you. And it also helps us to see what is meant by faith. Mike Meller used to work as a journalist for the Bournemouth. It was in Bournemouth. I can't remember whether it was the Bournemouth Times or whatever newspaper it was. And he became addicted to alcohol, became an alcoholic. So addicted, in fact, that he'd go off after work. This was early on in his career as well, would go on after work, drinking till the early hours in various pubs and clubs, etc. He'd stumble back at 3 a.m. To his wife and kids, and then somehow get up in the morning, go to work and do it all again the next day. After many years of this, one day he reached such a low point. I think he'd been caught drink driving and the police were after him. Reached such a low point that he asked the Christian next to him at work. He went into work, asked the Christian next to him about God. And this, you know, this has been a conversation that he'd been avoiding for years. And finally, he asked his friend about God. And the Christian said, among other things, he asked, well, have you ever received Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior? And Mike thought to himself, well, no one's ever asked me anything like that. And he said no, but felt that immediately it was something that he wanted to do. And so he then excused himself, went off to the toilet, knelt down on the floor in the cubicle and said, Lord Jesus, if you're there, please come into my life. He went back to his desk and said nothing. His Christian friend was sort of saying, well, you know, have you done anything? He said, there's no way I'm telling you anything. And off he went then on his way home and was driving home. And at that point, he began to experience this extraordinary peace and joy. And at that moment, he knew that he was forgiven by God. He knew that Jesus had taken away the barrier of sin. He knew that God loved him forever. And the tears began to flow. And from that moment, he was a completely changed man. And he had been set free through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Christians, therefore, are people who have been set free from this broken world. They still have to live in it, but they've been set free into an eternal new age that has already dawned at the cross of Jesus, set free to enjoy relationship with God now and forever. And this freedom is for anyone. It's for anyone who would come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, put their trust in him. And it's the freedom we long for. Now, it may be that there's someone listening who, like Mike, is ready to do that, to put your trust in Jesus. Well, if that's you, do speak to someone if you want help with that, and we'd love to help you take that step. Others may have lots of questions still. We'd love to help you with them. And a great place to start is by reading a gospel. That's one of the four accounts of Jesus' life. Reading a gospel carefully, perhaps with a Christian friend, or coming onto the Christianity Explored course we're going to do after Easter. Please let us know about that if we can help with that. Others of us are Christians. Well, can I say to my Christian friends, this Easter, let's remember that Christ is not only our Saviour and our Lord. Do we have forgiveness in him. He's not only the Lamb of God. He's not only the risen King of Kings, but he is our freedom fighter. In fact, he is our freedom. And that his death is our great freedom cry. Freedom from sin, from death, from judgment, freedom from this present evil age, freedom forever into the new eternal age to come. It's a freedom that we have now. And though we have to live in this world, we have already been set free by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And let me pray as we close. Father, we thank you that we have good news to share and to hear even now as we sit in lockdown, as the world faces trial and hardship, and as many face the prospect of, as we all face the prospect of death. And we thank you that in that world and into that world, you have brought good news, the good news of freedom, the freedom that you want us to have, the freedom that you've sent your Son into the world to give us. We pray that we would look to him. We pray that we would find in him our true freedom. And we do pray for the Moorgate area, for all those who work in the Moorgate area. We pray that you would enable so many more to hear of the true freedom that they can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Phil. As is usual for our talks, the time is open for you to ask questions of the speaker. You can do that in a number of ways. You can just unmute yourself and ask the question to Phil, or you can put your question in the chat box and we will direct it to Phil. We will formally end at 1:40, so if you do need to go, please feel free to do so. But if you can stay around and would like to listen or to ask questions, please do so as well.
There's a nice small group of us here, isn't there? So do kind of feel free to sort of chat anything through that you want to. We all know who we are, I think. We're all Christians on this call, so although there may be someone listening on YouTube who isn't, but no, it'd be good to any sort of thoughts or questions that you have, any comments.
Phil, I liked what you talked about on the topic of freedom. Actually, I think we're often tempted to think of freedom as being a complete sort of lack of constraint, almost like free from this, free from that. But if you're kind of completely untethered, free to create yourself, it's not really much of a freedom, and at all, is it? It's more that I think the freedom Jesus calls us to is the freedom to become a part of the sort of meta narrative of the universe, become part of something that's the whole direction of the universe. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's almost a freedom to become something rather than a freedom from, which is the way we usually think about it.
That's really helpful. Yeah, it's a freedom from this present evil age, but it's a freedom for relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. And the Bible is clear that actually true freedom lies in relationship with God. That's the life we were made for. And so we will only experience true freedom in loving relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. Yeah, you're right. So it's not freedom. We won't find freedom in our own autonomy. We can't run our lives and bring ourselves freedom. We'll always be under God's judgment and in this present evil age. So yeah, that's helpful. It's freedom from and freedom for.
I've got a question here from David, who had to jump off, so he was unable to.
Foresight.
Yeah, unable. But it was just a comment that you made about we evolve from nothing. Is that a critique of the idea that we come from nothing, or are you saying that evolution is not true? Or are you saying both or either?
I think in the end, the whole evolution theory is fundamentally about where we came from. And, you know, everything else is unimportant. Did we have we sort of, you know, has there been sort of various sort of micro evolution and adaptation to environment? All that stuff is insignificant. What evolution is really claiming, macro evolution, is to be an alternative creation narrative. It's at that point it's saying, that is what the theory of evolution is about. It's about how we could have all of this could have come from nothing, and that is our creation myth. It's absurd, actually, and amazing that we should buy it, to look around and think that all of this comes from nothing. But it is our creation myth. Every culture has one, and that's ours. And I think as Christians, we just need to point out that the emperor does in fact have no clothes in this particular point. And, you know, the fact that we look around, and you know, there's a lot more that we could say about it. People say, oh, well, it's a scientific consensus. It's not the scientific consensus. There are many, many gifted scientists who look at the evidence and think, do you know, this evolutionary theory does not explain this. The current head of evolutionary biology at Kew Gardens is one of those people. And there are many others.
Thank you. Any other questions? Can I ask one? Oh, sorry, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Can you hear me actually? There's just things about the story you told of Mike, wasn't it? The guy, but he obviously, his colleague must have been a very, his Christianity must have been shining forth for him to ask the question in the first place. I suppose it's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? I suppose would others turn to us if in similar situations?
Yeah, that's really helpful. I was very encouraged by that when I listened to his testimony about actually it was a workplace witness.
So if I can ask one, which you sort of, I think, touched on in a way as well. So clearly this, what you've been speaking on and what this verse say is that Jesus sets us free from this present evil age. Can you just kind of maybe explain more how that works? How does Jesus set us free, especially as we, celebrate Good Friday and Easter, which is significant in the Christian calendar?
Sure. Yeah, I think the answer to that, I think Paul is referring back to Genesis 3 when he says present evil age. I think the answer to that is the knowledge that Paul is assuming is that we are aware of what went wrong. So in Genesis 3, right at the beginning, sin came into the world and God's judgment over us. And so that's why, if you look at verse 4, Jesus gave himself for our sins as an atonement for sin. That's why that is what sets us free. Because his death takes away the original fundamental problem and the source of all our griefs and woes in this world is the problem of sin, namely the barrier between us and God. In fact, it's a double barrier. If you can think of a double layered chocolate bar, I don't know, is it a double decker? You've got sin and God's judgment against our sin. That is the double barrier that stands between us and God. And and Jesus, as he died on the cross, not only took our sin, but also all the judgment that we deserved for it, dying the penalty, paying the penalty for it. And so there is no longer any reason for anyone in Christ to face God's judgment or to be locked in this present evil age that's been since Genesis 3. And God, there's no, and so that, you know, it's like the doors have been flung open to eternity. We think that death is has always been here. It hasn't. It's an intruder. And it's a thrilling thought, isn't it, to think that there is a freedom that spans into eternity. Does that help, Alfie? I thought I tried to explain that in the talk, but I basically just said again what I think I said in the talk. But
yeah,
is there something more that you were gunning for?
No. I think that's helpful to just, yeah, just yeah, bring that point across again. Thank you.
I think the other thing that Paul is setting up here is the fact that religion can't save us. So religion, all human religion, is stands within this present evil age. Even the law of Moses is part of this present evil age. And so not only are we locked within it, but also we cannot be saved by anything that has its source within it, or that is part of this present evil age. We can't be saved by doing the law of Moses. We can't be saved by any human religion. Because all of those, human religion is part of this present evil age. It's like trying to grab onto quicksand that's, you know, you're in the quicksand and you're trying to grab onto some quicksand. It's not, it doesn't, it can't save. Only Christ, who came from outside, can save us. So that's also the point that Paul's beginning to set up. And, you know, in chapter 5, he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free, by which he means we've been set free from the needing to do the law of Moses, set free from needing to do human religion. Actually, we were enslaved to human religion. But now Christ has set us free.
You see that in Paul's...
Go on, Steve.
No, I'm just saying, you see that in Paul's life, like illustrations of that you did when he was in jail. He was more free than the jailer.
Yeah.
But the jailer was the one that was actually,
yeah,
in prison, isn't he, I suppose?
Yeah.
Thank you. Really helpful.
We're going to be looking more at this freedom, actually, in the coming weeks. So after Easter, we're going to be coming back into Galatians and thinking more about it. So, you know, we'll have more chance to think about that.
Are there any more comments or questions? If not, can I just commend you again, if there's anything that was said, or again, if you're listening to this later or on YouTube, anything that was said that's kind of made you think that you really want to look further into what Galatians say, indeed, do come back post Easter, but also anything that was said and you want to look further into the claims of Jesus and what the Bible says, please consider the Christianity Explored course. It's just a great way for you to read the Gospels for yourself and to explore this further and to ask any questions indeed that you have of the Gospel. On that note, I think I'll draw some there. Thank you again, Phil, and thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.